Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, we've been celebrating some of my favorite content creators who cover the Kansas City Chiefs. We had How About Those Chiefs join us on the show. We also had Daryl Wakefield with Kingdom Cast. And right now, we're going to head to the phone lines and be joined by Jason Dunn. He is on a podcast called Chiefs Concerns. Jason Dunn, how are you doing today, my man?
What's up, C-Dot? How you doing, my brother?
Doing all right? Doing fantastic, man. Let's just start with this. You played in the NFL. You were a great blocking tight end. Who was the hardest guy to block?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I blocked a lot of guys, man, in my 11 years, so... My rookie year, I had a gamut of Reggie White, Bruce Smith, Charles Haley, Charles Mann. I mean, you name the Bills defense. I mean, everybody. And so that's what I was looking at every week in and week out. Kevin Green, I mean, Greg Lloyd, I mean, you name it. So I've had the best, trust me, I've had the best guys I had to go against. If you don't want to name the best tight defensive ends, I went against a whole lot of them.
There was a video that came up on my TikTok page a couple of days ago with Reggie White. Never seen somebody. He like used the offensive player as like a weapon and threw him into the quarterback to slow him down and then tackled him. I'd never seen a person do that before or since.
Oh, completely destroy guys. And that's what I was looking at. I had him on Monday Night Football. And see, now that's what I had to see doing the scouting report. The video that you just watched, that's what I had to see all week. And so you best believe I was petrified for sure. So
right now we're joined by Jason Dunn. He is the co-host of the Chiefs Concerns podcast. All right, Jason, let's start with this. We have seen 9 Chiefs games so far this year. What stands out to you? What are you seeing from this team?
I'm seeing a lot of mistakes in certain areas. But I am seeing a lot of good stuff offensively and defensively that I think that we can definitely hang our hats on and grow from this, from our 5-4 record. I think mistake-wise has been a little bit more on special teams. I want to see our special teams do a lot more better job, more consistent job. This second half coming around offensively, same thing. I think we got weapons all around, weapons galore. And I think part of our problem is we're just not running the football enough. And we're not doing it efficiently. We just need to do a much better job blocking up front from our O-line. They do a great job in pass blocking. And so I think that's one of the things we've been on offensively is in the run game. Defensively, I think when we attack guys, Spags does it. He's the best defense coordinator in the league, no question about it. Once he starts to attack, it's hard to stop us. We do a great job making sure – guys don't get past us. We try to keep everything in front of us. When we run man, when we're aggressive on the outside, that's when we play our best ball and bring in pressure too. So I'm looking for more of this the second half of the season from just this this organization. But that's what I've been seeing so far, C-Dot.
Right now, we're talking to former Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. He's the co-host of the Chiefs Concerns podcast. You mentioned running the football. That's something that we've talked about a lot on this show. It feels like it's a chicken or the egg argument. Do you think that the Chiefs don't run the ball a lot because they don't trust their running backs? They don't trust their offensive line? Is it more of an Andy Reid philosophy? Because a lot of people have noticed what you've noticed when it comes to this team. Why do you think they have struggled with the rush attack this season?
I mean, I think it's a combination of things, to be honest with you. I don't think it's a question of trust. When you look at some of the grades, when I do a grading show, actually, on Mondays, tonight I have one for my Chief Concern show. And I'll break down the film. I'll go through, I give each and every group a grade. I think our offensive line has been somewhat of, somewhat average on blocking. Haven't been really consistent like they should be with the guys up front. They've gotten better going through the season. But I think part of the problem is when you have them pass blocking the majority of the time, it kind of softens guys up. You know, me being a guy that's blocked a lot in my life, I know when you're sitting back all the time on your heels, you're catching people and you're not necessarily attacking. And I know those big boys up front, when we talked about Josh Simmons, when he's going to be back here, King Suma, Creed, Trey, you know, Juwan, those big guys want to go and hit something. That's what they want to do. They don't want to catch all the time, but this is what they're being asked to do. And I think that's part of the problem is because it is Andy's philosophy, because we do have weapons. Like I said before, we got weapons all over the place. Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, Rasheed Rice, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton. I mean, you name it. We got weapons everywhere. And so you only got one football. So what do? You got the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes. He's got a cannon for an arm. He could make any throw that was invented or even thought of. So you want to hang your hat pretty much on throwing the ball. And I think it's part of the philosophy. I think, you know, going forward to win more of our games that we should, some of the games that we lost that we should have won, probably should have been running the football a little bit more efficiently. And we just didn't do it. We just kind of got away from it. So I think it's part of our Achilles heel, but I think Andy kind of realizes there was a moment, Bills game in particular, which probably should have taken advantage of running the football more than what we did. I think it was a missed moment. I think Andy understood that. He was talking about putting guys in a position to make plays. I think that goes and includes with our running backs. Now, obviously, Pacheco's out, but Kareem Hunt has been doing an amazing job, I think. Bashard Smith, I think, deserves a little bit more carries, gets featured a little bit more. We've seen him being explosive in some games. I think we should try to see what he can do. Put a little bit more on him. I know CH, you know, kind of came out, got a couple of carries last week. But also, too, you know, you got Elijah Mitchell. I think he's not hurt. I think his girlfriend said something about that, and I think she was a little bit upset. But I think those things, man, to be honest with you, it's just a combination of things, man. C-Dot, to be honest with you, is why we're not just running the football efficiently like we should.
Right now, we're talking to Jason Dunn. He is with the Chiefs Concern podcast. You guys remember him. He played tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jason, if somebody asked you what it's like to play for Denver, what it's like to play in Mile High Stadium, what story would you tell them?
Oh, man. I tell them, try to find air wherever you can. That's what I would tell them. If you can get oxygen when you're out there in Denver, please hold on to it because it's a precious commodity. And every time I've gone out there to Denver, it's always been a hard-fought battle just to keep that oxygen in you. You know, and I know these guys do a little bit more of the, you know, the training, you know, that you need to be out there, but it's still tough, still tough. So that's what I would tell everybody. If you had anything to worry about and think about, it's always trying to get your air and your oxygen when you're playing. Always a tough thing.
Jason, a couple of teams I want to get your thoughts on before we get you out of here. If you're a believer or a non-believer, the Indianapolis Colts, are you on board or not?
In Indianapolis Colts, I am a believer. I think they got a great dynamic. They got a good running back. Well, shoot, leading running back in the league right now. Daniel Jones has kind of came back and you know, reinvented himself somewhat. He's got good receivers around him. He's got a great tight end. They got a good offensive line in front of them. Then you go on the defensive side of the football. They look good on the defensive side of the ball. They just got Sauce Gardner there, too. I am a believer. They are a very formidable foe. I can't wait to see when we play them in the next couple of weeks.
The next team I want to get your thoughts on are the Patriots. I feel like, and maybe this is just me, I haven't spent a lot of time talking about the Patriots. I thought that the Bills were going to win that division. After watching the Bills get beat down by the Dolphins and watching the Patriots go on the road and beat a very good Tampa Bay team, we got to start talking about the Patriots like maybe they're the best team in the AFC.
Oh, my gosh. Wait a minute. See, Doc, hold on now. Let's take it easy a little bit. I wouldn't say they're the best team in the AFC. Now, what I will say is I think it's a little bit fool's gold what they have. Drake May is an amazing player, okay? He's a quarterback that I think is one of the top ones in the league right now. But, you know, he's always had that ability to him. The other things I'm a little bit, you know, kind of critical of. I don't think that they have everything there. Vrabel obviously does a great job coaching, but I think, man, that they'll start falling apart soon after. But I think they'll probably make it to the playoffs, man. But I don't know if they're the best team in AFC. I would reserve that statement, at least for myself, for quite some time.
Who do you think it is right now? You think it's Denver, or are you just waiting to see if Kansas City is going to wake back up?
No, I think right now, to be honest with you, I think it's the Colts. I really do. From what they played and what they've shown, I think they've done a good job. I think, if anything, they would be more of a team that I say matches up with us well, okay, as opposed with the Pats. I think the Pats is, you know, like I said before, there's a team I think that we could definitely eradicate if we played them. So I just do believe that the Pats are a little bit as full gold right now. So,
Oh, and that makes perfect sense. Right now we're talking to Jason Dunn here for a couple more minutes. I'll get you out of here with this, Jason. I'm looking at this game coming up on Sunday against the Broncos as, to me, the Chiefs are at a crossroads when it comes to their season. One path keeps things basically how it's been. They go on the road, you beat the Broncos, you're 6-4, you come back home, you got the Colts, and everybody's confidence is back. You just went on the road, you beat the top dog in the AFC, you stole home field from them, and now you got them on the get back, and you also got the Chargers on the get back in the second half of the season. Everybody's going to be fine after that. If the Chiefs lose, and we're talking about their 5-5 at week 11 of the NFL season, you're 4 games back of the Broncos, maybe 4 games back of New England. Like, we're going to start talking about the Chiefs like a wild card team, and we've never talked about the Chiefs that way during the Patrick Mahomes era. That's kind of where I am heading into this matchup, that we know both of the options. We know both doors. We're just trying to see which one the Chiefs are going to walk down.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm always going to defer to the guys that got Super Bowl rings and playoff experience. That's what I always defer to. And I know that listening to Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Andy Reid, those guys are coming back focused. I think they understand 5-4 is unacceptable for them where they are. I think that Denver is a very good football team. They got a very good quarterback, but I just don't think they have enough for them to beat us. I think we went out against Denver. Like I said, I think if we get past these next 2 games, which I think we will, Denver and Indianapolis, I think we went out. I really do. I think the very end of the season, you could probably rest some guys against, you know, the Raiders if you need be. But other than that, man, I think Denver probably, you know, like I said, the Colts is probably going to be our most formidable foes at this moment from what I'm looking at. Everybody else, we should really beat handily. I know that, you know, and also, too, if we're thinking about, you know, the Chargers again, you know, been bit with injuries. I just don't think they have enough. They're not quite there yet. And so should have beat them the first game. Same thing. I think we were the first game of the season kind of off a little bit. But C-Dot, man, I do believe that the Chiefs have the ability to win out the rest of the way.
And that is our guy, Jason Dunn, joining us on the show today. He is the former Chiefs tight end. He also is the co-host of the Chiefs Concerns podcast. Jason, you had me on your podcast. I had to bring you on the show today, man. I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for popping on today.
Man, C-Dot, I appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely.
Right, come back again, man.
Absolutely,
man. Enjoyed you.
Absolutely. Whenever you guys want me to, I'm happy to do it. That is Jason Dunn joining us on the show today. Happy to have him. Rob, I will say this about the Patriots, and you and I have not spent a lot of time talking about the Patriots, and this is maybe the longest we've talked about them in a very, very long time. I think when it comes down to New England, you have to ask yourself, how real do you think what Drake May is doing? Because if you think what Drake May is doing is for real, then I think you have to look at them as a true Super Bowl contending team. He is completing 70% of his passes. His yards per attempt is at 8.9. He has thrown 19 touchdown passes so far this season. So we are talking about a quarterback that looks like he's going to throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdown passes with 8 interceptions, give or take, and a 110 quarterback rating. that team's a legitimate contender if you got that guy playing quarterback. I like Travion Henderson coming out of Ohio State. He seems like he's starting to figure some things out. You got Ramondre Stevenson. You got to get him back healthy as a good 1-2 punch. And you know the Patriots with Vabrel, they're going to tinker and have their defense right. I feel like wherever you stand right now on the Patriots, it really comes down to how much do you believe in their quarterback? And same thing with the Broncos, as we've been debating for them for the last 3-4 weeks or so on whether you believe or not. It is not close to me between which team has the better quarterback or which team's quarterback is playing better, because Drake May is playing light years ahead of where Bo Nix is currently playing.
Maybe this is an unfair question to ask, because I don't know that you're a person that thinks this way, but I have to wonder, why are people not believing in Drake May? I mean, it's not like, I get why people don't believe in Daniel Jones. I get it. There's a track record of he's up, he's down, the highs weren't that high, the lows were low. I get why people even don't buy into Bo Nix. Bo Nix was statistically just fine last season, and he has regressed statistically and by the eye test. Why are people not believing in Drake May? Because down the stretch last year, in games that did not matter for a team that was going to fire their coach, Drake May actually wasn't bad. One of the reasons why a lot of people believe the Patriots could be good this year is because, oh, Drake May flashed and showed a little something down the stretch. And then you combine that with Stephon Diggs as a legitimate wide receiver in the league. You get Mike Vrabel. You drafted a left tackle early, so you've solidified the offensive line. Like, what is it about Drake May that has people saying, I don't believe in that? Because he's a former top five pick in the NFL draft who played well down the stretch last year and now is playing really well. Like, what is it about Drake May that has people hesitant? I don't get it.
I mean, I think it's just a...
Other than he's new. If you weren't telling me he's new...
That's 100% what I think it is. I hear what you are saying. And the pedigree, the numbers, all of those things, right? Like, if you feel that way about them, then... I'm with you, but you know how sports is. No one believes you can do it until you actually do it. And in the AFC, man, there's only been two quarterbacks that have done it in a post-Tom Brady world. Mahomes has done it, and Joe Burrow has. So I think a lot of it is the sight unseen, and also in order to get to where you want to go in the AFC, you got to beat him, and we haven't really seen a lot of people beat him yet. But if you're looking at a team, I mean, I'm looking at the Patriots. Now, quarterback play-wise, what they've gotten. This team's been good so far this season. They really have. Their numbers, what they have done so far this season. So they are sixth in points allowed so far this season, and they're getting great quarterback play, and I think their run game is starting to figure it out. They got the formula to make a little bit of a run. If you also want to play the schedule game with them, I don't know if you can play that with them anymore. They went on the road and beat Buffalo, and they went on the road and beat Tampa Bay. And if you look at their schedule the rest of the way, they have two games left against the Jets. They also have the Giants that just fired their head coach, and they play the Dolphins at home late in the season. So we're looking at a handful of games in which they're going to be favored. They're currently 8-2. I think we're looking at a Patriots team that could possibly win 12 or 13 games and be the one seed in the AFC. So if you got to go there, now obviously you're not going to be afraid if you're a Kansas City, one of those kind of teams. But I think at this point, if you go on the road and beat Buffalo and follow it up and beat Tampa Bay, I think you got to start talking about them seriously as a no doubt or tier one kind of team. And again, it really comes down to, do you believe what you're seeing in Drake May? Because if you believe in Drake May, you have to believe in the Patriots.
Which is why I probably am a person that believes in the Patriots more than the average person. Like, or maybe more than the average Kansas City. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Because I think the Patriots are for real. I don't know that means they're making the Super Bowl. I don't know that means they're going to dethrone the Chiefs. I don't know. But it looks like Drake May and the Patriots could be a thorn in the Chiefs' side for a while now. Because I think Drake May is real. I think Mike Vrabel's one of the top five coaches in the NFL. And whenever he's been given competent quarterback play, he's done a lot of winning where he is. And you combine that with one of the reasons why everyone just pencils the Bills in every year is because their division's pretty soft. Well, now the Patriots get to gobble up on that same soft division. Like, I am a believer in the New England Patriots. No disrespect to Jason Dunn, me and him see it very differently. I have a lot of holes I think I can poke into the Colts. A lot. Meanwhile, I understand his point about the Patriots, but it feels like what they've done is a lot more real to this point of the year, and I believe their quarterback is more real than the Colts quarterback.
The Colts are a very, very interesting bunch because I would say I don't think there is anything that the Colts can do in the regular season that would get you to buy in. Now, they play on the road against Kansas City and on the road against Seattle in the regular season. So maybe I'm being a little bit hyperbolic there, because if they go on the road and beat Kansas City and on the road against Seattle in November and December, I think you inevitably have to take them seriously. But I just think when you have Daniel Jones as your quarterback, I just don't know if you can build up enough goodwill, because for the most part, and I think this is sports fans in general, a sports fan loves to say, "See, I told you." We love to say, "See, I told you." No one believes in Daniel Jones. The moment he gives you reasons to not believe, we are going to look at the Colts and say, "See, this is why we thought you traded too much to go get Sauce Gardner, because now you're stuck with Daniel Jones as your quarterback." So I don't really know what to do with him, because we saw Baker Mayfield turn his career around, and now people believe in Baker Mayfield. We also saw Sam Darnold turn his career around, and now Sam Darnold might be the quarterback of the best team in the NFC. If those two guys could go to a new place and turn things around and change their image, why can't Daniel Jones change his image, go to a new place, good offensive-minded head coach, best running back in the league? Why can't Daniel Jones change people's opinion as well?
Maybe it's because we are so close to it, but I think you'll understand this comparison. What's different between the Colts this year with Daniel Jones and what the Chiefs did in 2013? Like, Alex Smith was used a guy where, hey, if you get a right offensive-minded coach with him, you can get good quality play out of him. Remember, Jim Harbaugh had taken him to an NFC title game. Like, that was a thing. And then the Chiefs traded for him, and he got paired with Andy Reid, and the Chiefs started 9-0, and the conversation was, hey, Alex Smith's the former number one overall pick. He looked good with Harbaugh. He's now looking good with Andy Reid. This team is talented on both sides of the ball. They're just missing the quarterback, and now they found one out in the wilderness. They're 9-0. We know how the story ended with that Chiefs team that season. They did not finish undefeated. They finished with a wild card, and they lost a horrific game on the road to Andrew Luck's Colts. That's how I feel about this Daniel Jones Colts team. They are talented. They are good. And I always kind of felt like if they ever got competent quarterback play, they were a team to watch out for. They weren't getting that with Anthony Richardson and Jacoby Brissett last year. They just weren't. Now they are. But I still feel like getting competent quarterback play is not good enough for me to view them as a real Super Bowl threat. And you're right, time will eventually be the answer. If they beat either the Chiefs or the Seahawks, if they go 1-1 in those games on the road, then I will have to change my tune a little bit. But the Colts feel so much like the 2013 Chiefs that I can't shake the feeling of, once the schedule hardens up a little bit and it's on the road or in the postseason period and your quarterback has to go make plays, I don't trust their guy to do it despite all the markings that he has been doing it this season.
Rob, I have just decided that anytime we have like 90 seconds left in a segment and we can't really like start talking about something else, I'm just going to play this to fill the time.
Mendoza in trouble.
I'm serious. If this season continues for Indiana the way that it is going, that will be looked at as one of the greatest plays in the history of college football. You remember that catch that Michael Crabtree had against Texas? Remember that catch on the sideline? That's what that is. That's what it is. That catch on the road at Penn State, down 4, 10 plays, 80 yards. That is the Michael Crabtree play. You guys all know the one that I'm talking about. That's what we just saw this past weekend at Happy Valley. What a win by Indiana. Indiana is right now the best story in sports. They're the best story in sports. Indiana had never won 9 games in a college football season. They went to the college football playoff last year. They are currently 10-0 and might be the best team in the sport. What a wild turnaround in Indiana. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk some bye week football. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills that embarrassed themselves by the Miami Dolphins. And are the Ravens going to do this? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Colin Cowherd. Now, you guys saw the Bills. I mean, I'm not mad at you for losing a conference road game, a divisional road game, right? That's not the worst thing that can happen. But to lose to the Dolphins, and the way you lost to the Dolphins, they gave you the beats, hands and feet. The Bills didn't score in the first three quarters of the game. They got beat 30-13 by Miami. That team fired their general manager. That team has looked lifeless for a majority of the season. They're going to fire their head coach at the end of the season. So for that team to pummel you and outclass you the way that they did is an embarrassment and an indictment on everybody. Here's Colin Cowherd talking about the beatdown that the Bills got.
And here's my thing with Sean McDermott. Something's always leaking, and it takes him an entire offseason to figure it out. You don't have an offseason. You're wasting Josh Allen's prime. The running game took years to solve. Now the passing game. What? I have to wait until next year to solve it? I mean, Justin Herbert doesn't have his tackles or his number one running back, and Jim Harbaugh's got him in a three-game winning streak. Their offensive line is atrocious. Three-game winning streak. San Francisco has Mac Jones quarterbacking. The receivers aren't healthy. Where's Ayuk? Where's Ricky Pearsall? Mac Jones yesterday went 33-39. Buffalo has been mostly healthy, schedule third easiest in the league, and yet they don't have they have one win over a team with a winning record. So in their three losses, they've averaged 15 points. With Josh Allen and James Cook, how is that possible?
This is the truth. I understand that it is a salary cap league and you can only pay so many people. The Bills have done a terrible job in either giving Josh Allen the wide receivers or developing the wide receivers. You guys remember when Josh Allen took that big jump? How did he take it? Because he was not great his first 2 years. He took a big jump in year three. You guys remember how? They traded for Stephon Diggs. They went out and got him a dog. This is the argument that I always make. I feel like we use these catch-22 arguments with quarterbacks. Hey, well, you got too many weapons. Well, then when you take them away, why is that guy playing poorly? Because you ain't giving them the pieces. Listen to their top four wide receivers in Buffalo. Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer, Elijah Moore. That's bad. That's bad. The things that they have invested in or developed are working. James Cook is having a phenomenal year running the football. Josh Allen having a great year. That's really it. Dalton Kincaid's fine. They thought that Dalton Kincaid could be a George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Gronk. He was supposed to be next up. He was supposed to be that guy. He's fine. He is Dalton Schultz. He's Dallas Goedert. Good tight end. You can't build your offense around Dallas Goedert. That's why you go get Devontae Smith. That's why you go get A.J. Brown. That's why you go get dogs. One of Buffalo's problems is they ain't got enough dogs. On a routine game-in, game-out basis, that's how they've let Josh Allen down, in my opinion. When you gave him pieces on the outside, when he had Cole Beasley, when he had Stephon Diggs, you could score 38 points on the road at Arrowhead and be in a shootout. I don't think they have the pieces to do it. And another secret is that defense, not great. So if you're lacking defensively and you also don't have enough on offense, what do we do with that scenario? Because so far this season, we have talked more about Buffalo's schedule than Buffalo's team. That's all we mention when it comes to Buffalo. We don't mention how good we think Buffalo is. It's look at their schedule. If the schedule is the only thing holding you up in mid-November, that's the problem. It's that. So I can't put Buffalo in that conversation. I gave you guys who I think of the top five teams in the league. Colts, Patriots, Eagles, Seahawks, Rams. Bills aren't in that conversation. To me, the Bills are like a team that they better be preparing to go on the road in the postseason. That's what they need to be doing. They need to be prepared to not have a home playoff game. I don't know what their final game is in that stadium. I don't have their schedule up. That their last regular season game, that's their last game there, period. They ain't going back there. Not with the way they're playing and not with the way New England is playing. New England is better than them. They've been more consistent than they are. Let's talk about this Ravens team. Are the Ravens going to do this? Because the Steelers, I mean, it's right on time, is it not? We all knew this was going to happen at some point with the Steelers. They do this every single year. How could you believe? How could you believe? I mean, they went out there lifeless on Sunday Night Football. That's what it was. It was a lifeless effort they gave us. Now, if you're looking at Pittsburgh's schedule, they play Cincinnati. I mean, that feels like a coin flip kind of game. On the road against Chicago, they got Buffalo. So they got three more games coming up before they go on the road and play the Ravens. And to continue the schedule conversation, I mean, this Ravens schedule, it looked real soft to me. You got Cleveland and the Jets coming up. And if you win those two games, you'll be over 500. And no one will want to play you. Like, the Ravens are looking like the team that we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. Their defense has really improved and turned around. I mean, they haven't allowed more than 21 points since that game to Houston. You remember that Houston game? I don't know what they were doing defensively. Super beat up. But since then, they have allowed 17, 16, 6, and 19. So now they're holding teams to under 21 points, and now they got their quarterback back. And that has opened things up for them on the offensive side. The Ravens look like a team that is ascending. They look like a team that is improving, playing much better football. The Steelers, I mean, just they run this same scheme every single year. I can't wait for Bills and Ravens in the wild card round. It's going to be great. That nice 3-6 matchup or that 4-5 matchup that we're going to get on wild card weekend, because Buffalo's going on the road. They playing somebody. Buffalo is not hosting week one of the NFL playoffs. They're going on the road for super wild card weekend. So we got to start guessing where they're going on the road. They're not going on the road to Indy because Indy might have the bye. Patriots might end up having the bye. I'm telling you, they look like a team right now that we might be getting Bills Ravens in the wild card round. We were supposed to be getting that in the AFC championship game. Nope, not anymore. We might be getting that the first game of the playoffs.
Let me ask you this, because I think this is actually a scenario that could play out. If you're a Chiefs fan, Bills at Arrowhead, super wild card weekend, how are you feeling? Because I would say the Chiefs look better than the Bills. 2 weeks ago on this show, me and you puffed our chest out and said, I don't see a scenario where the beat-up Bills can beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a situation where they could be playing on Super Wild Card Weekend. I actually think they will be, because I think the Colts or Patriots are going to get the one seed just by their schedule remaining. I'd be stunned
if the Chiefs were the one seed.
It's not going to happen.
I don't even know from a math perspective. It's going to be very, very tough to do.
The math is there, but it's very actually unlikely. I mean,
they got to win out, basically, yeah, for the math.
And then they got to get help. But if they're playing Super Wild Card Weekend at home, they win the AFC West, and they play the Bills, are Chiefs fans comfortable, or are they starting to sweat going into that game?
I think it depends on how the Chiefs are playing. I don't think right now Chiefs fans are worried as much about the exterior more than they're worried about themselves. Because I think the feeling is going to be, as long as the Chiefs are playing well and make the playoffs, you will take your quarterback and your team against anybody that's out there. So as long as the Chiefs can figure out a way to be one of the top seven teams in the AFC, I think Chiefs fans are going to walk into it. We've done this before. We went on the road a couple of years ago. We went to Buffalo. We went to Baltimore. We won those games. Why can't we do it again? So I think it's a very, very good question. I don't think that right now, it's bye week, we're coming off of it, let's see what happens. I don't think Chiefs fans are worried about other teams. I think they're worried about their team. How do they get healthy? How do they get right? How do they start playing their best football? I do want to answer this really quickly. See, now, don't make excuses. The Chiefs won a Super Bowl with MVS, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore with an average offensive line. Maybe Allen just isn't that guy like everybody wants him to be. I feel like we've established this a long time ago. Josh Allen is not Patrick Mahomes. In fact, there are only like three quarterbacks in Super Bowl history that could have won with the talent that Patrick Mahomes has. Like Joe Montana, Elway, Brady. That's the list. Yeah, so I'm with you. No, Josh Allen needs things that Patrick Mahomes doesn't need. And if you're going to continue to give him Khalil Shakir and Josh Palmer, those are your one and two options, and Keon Coleman, I'm telling you that Buffalo will continue to have their heart broken every single January. He does not have enough things. I don't know why they weren't willing to make the trade to go get Jaylen Waddle. Let's actually talk about that, because this week we got the, well, we almost, that was a theme on Sunday morning. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, Rob, I have a non-football topic that I want to talk about. I know I teased something else, and I apologize, but I feel like this will be a very...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Very relatable topic. So, Rob, you know that I am in the process of trying to move. I have been renting my apartment for quite some time, and I just feel like it's time for me to take the next step in my life. It's time for me to have some home ownership. So I've been really looking and really going through the process of trying to do this. I was preparing to make an offer on a place. We did some more research on the building. The condo that I was thinking about purchasing was advised, please don't do it. Stay away. And I'm a big believer. I can't bring these people on to help me and then not listen to their help. So I'm not going to make an offer. So I'm back at square one. The reason I am telling you this is I feel like a really famous person that is now going to the grocery store and has no clue that's what food costs. Like, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes goes to the grocery store or Clark Hunt, for example. I'm going to guess that Clark Hunt has absolutely no clue how much milk costs. I'm just going to guess. When would Clark Hunt have ever been to Hy-Vee to buy milk? I'm assuming that's never happened. The reason I'm making this analogy is, for the first time in my life, I'm looking up to see how much houses cost. I have never done that. I've never just randomly went on Zillow and started looking at houses. Like, I'm not planning on moving. I'm happy with where I am. This is the first time I've done it. And Rob, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it. I'm like, now that I have a good idea of what these things should cost, like area and amenities and all these things, I'm now thinking, people spend that much on houses today? The world is starting to make so much more sense. Like when I hear these news reports and they talk about how, Rob, our generation wants to rent and doesn't want to buy houses. Yeah, because you're selling me this rinky-dink regular house and it's $350,000. That's why millennials don't want to buy houses. I didn't really understand that until just now. I had heard these things, I read these things, but I had no frame of reference because I had never experienced it for myself. Now I am experiencing it. Now that I'm going through like, oh, this is what people's mortgage would be, or oh, this is how much you would need for a down payment. Now that I'm getting a greater understanding and now I'm looking at, oh, you should look at this place, look at this place. I'm thinking, wait, people play that? How is this? This does not feel like a sustainable model. Have you had this feeling before, or am I just super late to the party when it comes to this? I can't be the only person that's super late to this.
I don't know if you're super late. I think people our age are buying houses later and later in life. But I think the first time you go through this process, it's jarring.
But now that we're doing this, it makes me just want to stay where I've been.
It's jarring. It's a jarring process. But like I told you this before on the show, it's a little bit of the first time to get the ball rolling sucks. There's no way around it. Big down payment, the whole deal. But you know what eventually is going to happen? You're going to buy a house. You're going to like a house. You'll buy a second house. You'll leave the first one and go to the second one. You know what's going to happen? The first one, you'll sell and you'll make a little cash. You'll then use that cash for a down payment, and now you have a nicer house that you're paying a lower rate for, presumably, if you did the money game right. It's the first one always sucks. That's why the term starter home exists.
No, I'm with
people. Starter home, you know what people don't do with their first house? They don't live in Hallbrook. They don't live in Mission Hills.
Yeah.
Their first house is rinky dink and it's down the block from, you know, a loud bar and they can't really sleep, or they're near the airport and it's planes constantly.
You know,
but then you get the ball rolling.
No,
you get
that
going.
Makes sense. I guess if that's the case, then I'm just going to live where I'm at. If that's the situation, I'm just going to continue to live where I am. I'm committed to going through this process. It's been informative. It's things I didn't think about. I never looked at any of these things. Now that I'm going through it and I'm looking, I'm like, that's how much it costs to live in that neighborhood? No. Why would anybody do this? This hasn't really been that fun of an experience. I will admit that. It hasn't really been that fun.
Well, you haven't finished the experience. It becomes more fun when you get
the
keys.
Yeah, when it's over.
Well, that's the same. You just got a new car. That's the same with car buying. You like going the lots and walking around talking to car salesmen? No, it's not fun. You like taking test drives and quite literally kicking the tires on cars? Of course not. No one's been like, oh man, what do I want to do forever? Test drive cars. It's not fun.
Okay. No,
but the end result is you get a new car and you're excited. That's the reward. The pot of gold in this rainbow.
Well, tomorrow I'm back at looking at places and just making a decision on what I want
to
do.
To be fair, you also done this to yourself. You refuse to cross state line. The Chiefs and Royals may cross. Why can't you?
Rob, I want to be as clear as possible. I have absolutely no interest in living in the state of Kansas. None. I have not looked. You know when you can like narrow your search? I'm not even looking at where to live over there. I don't have any interest in living in Kansas. None. Not at all. Ever. None. I mean, if I got to move to the suburbs in Missouri, I'm going to Blue Springs. I'm going to Blue Springs. I'm going to Lee Summit. I'm going to Independence. I'm not, no. There'll be no, there's no world, Rob, where I live on 135th. I don't have any interest in moving there. None.
What if I told you?
I don't care.
What if I told you it's a great location to tailgate Royals games? Well, look, a lot of convenience for you for those 81 games a year.
No, you're right. That's a good point. I'm okay. You got it. I don't want to go over there. I don't have any interest. You think I want Kansas tags? You think I want a Kansas driver's license? I'm serious. Like, I don't want to like, oh, let me see your ID. Can you imagine? This is what I don't want. And I know some of you live with this. This is what I don't want. I don't want to be out of town and then you got to show somebody your ID. And then that person looks at me and says, oh, you're from Kansas? Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah, because
no, I'm not from Kansas.
Missouri.
I don't want to be from Kansas. I don't want to be from there. That's what I don't want. I don't want to be out of town. I hand somebody my license. Because then we all have been in this situation before. When you tell somebody where you're from and then like, oh, so you're from Kansas. No, I'm not. Please don't do that. That's very serious where I'm from. We got to fight offense if you say that to me. No, I'm not from Kansas at all. Please don't say that to me. So yeah, that's why that's number one. I'm sure it's great over there. Great school system. The roads are great. I'm sure it's great. You know what I like being? I like being a Kansas visitor. That's what I love. I love being a Kansas visitor. It is great. Got the mall right there. It's nice. Got nice little restaurants and shops. But you know what I love most? Going back. Leaving. Going home. That's what I enjoy.
I think your life would be a lot easier. You work in Kansas. Bing, bang, boom. Taxes. I just cut a couple loopholes out of your life.
Okay, that's fair. Well,
also, you act like people look at your license like, ooh, Missouri, like it's Hawaii or somewhere, you know, exotic
no,
and
just,
fun.
It just identifies me as who I am and you know proud our, to be know, where I'm from.
Do you know what our side of state line has? Paved roads. And in the winter when it snows, they're going to be shoveled.
Somebody said, why the hate on Kansas? I just don't want to be one of you guys.
Hunt is considering moving across state lines, you should consider it.
He likes this place so much, you don't even live here. Keep it here is the drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.